Hello, everybody. I hope you're all doing really well today. Welcome. I'm really looking forward to our call today. We've got a practicum today, our breakthrough questioning practicum. It was nice to see some of you at the bonus practicum yesterday, and it's good to see that a lot of you are here again today. So before we jump into the practicum, just a couple of housekeeping pieces that I wanted to make sure I shared with all of you. So first of all, I hope that I will be seeing a lot of you this Thursday, January 23rd at 12 p.m. Eastern. We've got 5 hours together for the Befriend Your Fear Method workshop. We're going to be meeting on Zoom, and you should have received or will be receiving the link for that. The reason why we're meeting on Zoom for this particular workshop is because we're going to be doing some practices. I'm going to teach you all the foundations and the methodology for Befriend Your Fear, and you're going to have chance to practice both in the group as a whole, but also I'll be dividing you guys into groups of two. Hopefully we'll get to that for some partner coaching, all of that. Anyway, it's going to be a great day, and if you can be there live, please be there live. The other thing I wanted to mention is, and some of you have already seen this in our Facebook group, I put a post out there. I'm going to pin it to the top of the page, actually. I put a post out there just with a poll, seeing who, let's see, can I pin this? Sorry, I'm just seeing if I can pin this. All right, I'll figure it out later. Anyway, there's a post in there from January 19th, seeing if there is interest in me adding a bonus 2-hour practicum, mostly for newer practitioners, but it would be very helpful for seasoned practitioners as well. It'll be an opportunity to just really get more into the nitty-gritties of how to run the coaching session and what Sacred Depths coaching looks like. We'll be spending a portion of the time where I'll be coaching someone, a volunteer, and then we'll break down together all of the coaching that I did. And then we'll also have some time where one of you will coach someone for about 20 minutes in front of the group, and then, you know, we'll break that down as well. There's a lot of opportunity for learning and deeper mastery. I would love to do it. I just want to make sure, because it's something that needs a lot of live participation, it's not just me teaching at you. I just want to make sure that we have a critical amount of people that are going to be there. So if you could just let me know in that poll if that's something that you want to be there live for or not, that would be really helpful. And then the last housekeeping piece that I wanted to mention is that a number of you have been asking about the upcoming Authentic Enrollment Conversation workshop, and if that's something that you should be registering for or not. I'd say by and large, it is not something that you should register for. The reason is because you have a 5-hour recording in your member center of the last time that I held this workshop. It's, you know, teaching you how to do better sales, more effective sales, more authentic sales, more aligned sales conversations, specifically the sales conversation part. There is going to be some new material, but not enough that it would make sense for you to purchase it. The only reason that it would make sense for you to purchase the live one that's coming up in February is if you know that you learn best when you're live and you want to be there live. But I'd say by and large, you have the recording, you have all the worksheets and the templates. You know, I've given that to you as a bonus in this program. That being said, if you have any friends or clients or colleagues that you know could really benefit from being trained on how to have more effective sales conversations using in integrity techniques and using transformational techniques, please let them know about it. I would love to have them. All right. That's it for the housekeeping. Alicia, I see you have your hand raised. Alicia, did you have your hand raised?
Hi, I just wanted to volunteer for the question and practicing today. That's why I raised my hand.
Okay. I thought you were going to have housekeeping. Okay, awesome. We'll get to that in a minute. You can be our volunteer.
Cool.
Okay, I'll come back to you. Yay, we already have a volunteer for our first practicum. So let's talk about the practicum. As you guys know, because we've already had a number of practicums and bonus practicums, the purpose of our time together today is to continue to isolate the questioning muscle, right? So, of course, in your sessions with your clients and with your partners, I want you to be using all of the tools. Of course, you know, each week I give a specific homework assignment to, you know, just isolate a little bit in those partner sessions. But today what we're going to do is totally just isolate the questioning muscle, which actually isn't even true because, of course, in order to ask really good questions, you need to do your deep listening. And inherent in really good questions is creating awareness. And sometimes we need to even do some reflecting in order to set up a question. So we're isolating the questioning muscle, and also at the same time, we're really using everything that we've looked at and learned so far. But, you know, what we're going to do is I'm going to call a volunteer. We'll probably have an opportunity for two different sessions today. I'm going to ask questions. I'm going to try to have them not be breakthrough questions, but just so that we can get a sense of what their situation is, what they'd like support on. And then the opportunity for you, and this is why these practicums I think are so valuable, is to have some time to really think about how you want to craft your questions. So to follow, do your deep listening and then follow your own curiosity and intuition to come up with questions. You're going to have some time to craft those questions, to really think about the language of the question, how you want to ask it, you know, to do that in the sacred space. And then I'll be asking you guys, like we've done in the past, round robin, to bring forward your questions. On this call, when we look at questioning, there are going to be times where I'm going to say, you know, that's a great question, but here's some other ways that you can phrase that, right? So I'm going to be really listening intently and just giving some suggestions for even how to improve some of the questions. If I do that, as you know, I'm going to do it with love, and it doesn't mean that your question was wrong in any way. I'm just always, for me, it's always about the nuances, you know, and tightening up around the nuances. So as you know, what these practicums require is your participation. The more that you share, the more questions that you bring forward, the more I can riff off of. And for those of you that were on the call yesterday, you know, you saw how beautifully that happened. It was like, you know, give me the material so that I can teach you more, and also really use the practice time and take the risk to bring the question forward. As I speak to, and I'll be speaking to Lucia first, I want you just to remind you, again, use everything that we have learned together so far. Use your listening skills. Check your filters. Listen to your own intuition and your own curiosity as you listen to the client. Think about what are the things that you want to be creating awareness on for this client. Think about all of the questioning foundations that we looked at. Think about uncovering patterns. Think about connecting the dots. Think about the specific language that you use. Think about tonality. Think about pace. All the things. But don't get overwhelmed by all the things, right? Just, you know, lightly keep them in mind and then go with what that dance between what you hear and what your intuition is telling you. All right, so with all that, let's jump in. Lucia, are you there?
Hey, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, if you can talk just a little bit louder, that would be great.
Okay, I can do that.
Okay. Great. So share with us the situation that you would like to bring forward and what you'd like support on.
So the situation, I think I shared it when you were off with a lot of you right now in the group. I shared that I have been called home by my spirit. I really can't put it any other way because I was sitting in a spiritual circle and all of a sudden I got all of these visions and downloads of like designing flyers in German and walking around my hometown Cologne and like spreading out these flyers and looking into places and room options and everything. And I was so learned to use it first. And I sat with it for a few days and then I actually really just booked my ticket.
I wanna stop you. I'm having trouble hearing you. I think it might be because you're on a web call and maybe you're not getting great reception, but I can only hear half of what you're saying. Is there a way for you to move just where you're sitting or something? Because what you're saying isn't really coming through.
I can try that. Is that better? Tell me when it's better.
Right now it sounds better, yeah.
Right now it sounds better. Okay. Should I start from the beginning?
Yeah, start from the beginning.
Okay, cool. So I have been called home lately. Home is for me Germany, and I'm living right now in Guatemala, which is total paradise for me. And I have been sitting in a singing circle, in like a kirtan circle, and I've given all these downloads of like designing flyers in German and walking around the streets of my hometown, spreading out these flyers. And I've booked my ticket, so I'm really trusting this is coming through in the realms of vision for me, and just like inner voice, inner call, and intuition, whatever you want to call it. But at the same time, it's so much that comes up around with like so much fear and like questioning, wondering, why is this happening? Who would not choose this from my mind? So why am I called back? And as well, it was the last time that I was into really deep depression in 2015 when I was in my hometown the last time. So there's a lot of fear coming up, and I want support on how to handle this fear and what I can do to ground myself and to prepare in the best way possible to be very much in alignment when I actually go home, which will be in the middle of February.
Okay, great. And talk to us a little bit more about the fear. Tell us what you know about the fear. There may be more than one, but you know, what are the specific fears? And anything else you want to share about that?
Sure. So right now I'm living in a space that is very low on stimuli, and I am very sensitive. And like just imagining to go back into an environment that's very overloaded with city, like a lot of cars, a lot of sounds, noises, people, like not so much living in nature, is like the fear of overwhelm and of like through the overwhelm tipping back into like unhelpful behavior from the past.
Yeah, what are some of those unhelpful behaviors?
Like shutting down and like doing something to compensate, like overeating or using the internet in unhealthy ways.
Yeah, I get that. Good. Are there any other
And another
fears?
Thing mm-hmm. Yeah, another thing that's really coming up strongly is like that here in this environment, there's not much that I need to do on the outside. Like, there's not much I have to take care of. But when I come home, I will have to take care of, like, finding a house that suits me and, like, setting up my business and, like, doing all these, like, 3D reality work things that I don't have to do so much in this last 1.5 years while I was living in paradise.
Yeah. That makes sense. Any other fears or concerns about the move?
That I don't find, like, because here this place is like a place for spiritual seekers and very like awoke people, and like the fear that I don't find community or people that suit me, because I have outgrown most of my old friends, and I'm worried that I don't find a good community for me, that I will end up lonely.
Yeah. Okay, good.
I think that's mainly it.
Like, okay, those are the pieces. Okay,
yeah.
Good. And you shared earlier that what you would like support on is how to ground and prepare for this trip. Was there, I feel
yeah.
like there was a piece too.
There is a what?
Was there another piece, or that's what you're looking for? How to get grounded and how to prepare for this trip.
Yeah, how to, like, how can I be in a good mind space, in a good head space, in a good heart space?
Beautiful.
Yeah, to make a good transition. Because I know that my vibration maximally influences the outcome that I will receive when I go home,
yeah.
So I want to be in a good head and heart space.
Yeah. Okay, beautiful. Anything else about the situation that you want to tell us?
No, that's basically it.
Okay, I think we have a good amount of information, so I'm going to put you on mute, Lucia. And I'm going to give everybody now about a minute and a half, and Lucia, you also participate in this. You can put your coaching hat on now or your questioning hat on now. I want everybody to come up with at least two, if not a few more, questions that you would ask this client. And again, take the time to really craft the questions. When you're on coaching sessions, you may not take this amount of time, probably not. You're not going to take 90 seconds. But the idea is we're going to build that muscle here in the practice space so that it comes even easier in sessions. Not that there's anything wrong with taking a moment to pause to find the right words in a session, of course. But so take some moments. What are some questions that you would want to ask this client? Keep on going. Take another minute and just see what questions you want to ask here. Take about another half a minute and just see if there's anything else or anything you want to shift about any of the questions that you've written down. Okay. So, star two, let's hear some of the questions that you would ask this client. Star two. Is this Siobhan?
It is. Hi, Joanna.
Hi.
So I, first of all, just want to say that, Lucia, I'm really impressed and just kind of blown away that you're able to follow your heart, you know, and your intuition and your feelings and do this thing because you've learned to trust yourself so much. And I really want to honor that. And the way you kind of led your life that way, and you seem to go deeper and deeper into what your spirit really wants. I think that's amazing. I hope I can get closer to that at some point. I didn't catch when you leave, but I did catch that you have a ticket, so I'm assuming it's pretty soon. So I guess I would want to know, where does the universe want you to stretch here, right? What can you change on the inner? Like, what is the picture and narrative in your head that, you know, I heard some things that you were saying, a lot of fears and worries about things. And so what can you maybe change on the inner to help with this transition, to help you become more aligned? Because I heard you use the word, you know, you want to be aligned with this whole move. What kinds of things can you do on the outer to create a little more sense of peace if there's time before you go? And then what would you like to create once you're there? So those are the questions I would focus on right now, I guess.
Nice. So I love the idea behind each of the questions. And my sense is they would be even more powerful. And I know probably in a coaching session you wouldn't ask them the three in the row, right? But I just want to make sure to mention that.
Yeah.
You don't want to stack the questions.
Yeah.
But even so, my sense is that each one of those questions would be even more powerful if you were less wordy and more direct. So, for example, for that first question, you used a lot of context and all the things. How would it feel if you simply said, what is the inner stretch, or what is the inner level stretch that the universe is calling you to right now? Or even another take on that is, what is the golden, hold on, let me think on how I would phrase that for a second. What is the sacred lesson that the universe would like you to learn?
Move.
Do you see how, even if it's not the exact words of the two questions I just asked, if you get simplify it and focus it.
Okay.
It will, not always, every now and again more words, something needs more words, but most of the time, if you simplify it, it's easier for, it kind of hits the client in a more powerful way.
Okay. Okay, good.
Beautiful.
Yeah, I like that. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you. All right, let's see who's next. Dan. You there, Anne? Oh, wait, hold on. I didn't do that correctly with the technology. Let me try that again. Anne.
Okay, am I on?
Yes, now you are.
Okay, good. So there were three things that popped up for me as I was listening, and it was specifically
coming
up
around. Let's do like one question at a time, and then if you want to re-raise your hand, I'll come back to you. That way, in case the other people whose hands are raised wanted to ask a similar thing.
So it, specifically around the fear that was expressed around not finding her people and ending up feeling lonely or being alone.
Mm-hmm.
And the question that was specific to that is when you've made similar moves in the past, how did you create your community around you?
Nice. So the idea behind that question is to look for patterns.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's one little filter thing in that question, which I probably wouldn't even catch if I didn't know Lucia, but because I know her, I know that this is a filter, which is that there's an assumption in that question. What's the assumption that you're making in that question?
That she's done this before.
Yeah, exactly. So that's it's okay, right? But it's just important for as much as you can to always check the filters so that you're not totally caught off guard. If the client is like, well, I haven't done it before, that's so scared, right? So just to be aware. And sometimes maybe the first question is, have you been able to create this before?
Well, I guess I may have misheard, because I thought that what I was hearing was that, like, that's how she got to Guatemala. But that may have been a filter, but I thought that I'd heard that.
You might have, and I didn't catch that. That is very possible. That is possible. We'll ask her when we come back around at the end. So
okay.
We'll see. Awesome. Thank you. Stephanie.
Hi, Joanna.
Hi.
The first question that I came up with, which I guess is similar to what some other folks have said, is why might Spirit want you to move back to Germany? Because I feel like she said at the beginning, like, Spirit is calling me, and I feel like exploring that more might help her get into the headspace that she is desiring.
Yes, 100%. So using a Spirit level question, which Lucia we know is going to, like, connect with, right? Most people will. It depends on what language you're going to use. But we know Lucia is going to connect with that language of Spirit because she's used it. Or you could also use intuition in this sense as a stand-in. She used that, right? But a question like that is going to connect her back to her motivation. It's also going to even more deeply connect her to her trust on this decision. And it's going to help her, through that trust and that connection, help her feel prepared and see some of the pieces that she's asking to see. Beautiful.
Awesome.
Thank you. All right. These questions are great. Keep them coming. Let's see who's next. Morgan.
Great. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Awesome. Well, I will just say that the one of the previous questions was also one of mine, so that was a nice catch on the filter, but about, how might you have grounded in past experiences? So I do think that was a great question from what I heard as well, but it was also a cool filter to consider. But my question to raise is also, who or what might be your best support when you do return home, as far as overcoming your fear of finding community, not putting so much pressure just on yourself or focusing on loneliness, but instead focusing on your outreach and identifying with your support system and resources.
Yeah, I think there's a way to shorten that a little bit to the point I was sharing before, but I do think some of those examples that you're sharing are important to the question. If you haven't already asked some other questions to get there. And I love that you're using the who or the what, right? Because sometimes it's a person, but other times it's an internal resource or an external resource. Nice. Okay. Let's see, who is this? I don't know who this is. 0444 are your last numbers.
Hey, Joanna, it's Susan Booth-Dufault.
Hi.
Hey. Along with kind of in line with the shift that you've been talking about moving into the Spirit questions, I was wondering if a body question might be helpful, like, where do you feel the fear in your body? And then following it with, is there a reframe available to you about those sensations?
Beautiful. Yeah, you could choose in this coaching session to go into either one of the three fears that the client had shared, or possibly if it were me, I would do one of the three as opposed to fear in general. I'd kind of assess which one was the most that we wanted to look at first,
okay,
and then move through it in a body-based way.
Mm-hmm.
If you do that, there's probably a series of questions that you want to ask, and actually it's perfect timing for Thursday, because when I teach you the befriend your fear process, I'll go through actually when you're working with the fear, all of the points that you want to kind of hit and cover,
okay,
whether it's the body-based or not. But yes, I love
okay
that idea. Great.
Perfect. And I was thinking that, and maybe you'll share this with us in that training, that sometimes fear and excitement are so close that
mm-hmm
we can flip to that. And that's kind of what I was thinking might happen, but I didn't want to say, can you change that to excitement and have it be a yes or no?
Uh-huh.
Does that seem anyway?
It's interesting. It's not something that I talk about specifically in that training, but
okay,
I agree with you that, and
okay,
that's because fear is oftentimes part of the growth process, and growth is excitement,
mm-hmm,
right? And so whether it's body-based or intellectual level of learning or both, I think that there's something really valid there in making the connection as well as the distinction. So let's think on this for a moment, because I like this idea. So take a moment, Susan. How, if you were to just do that in an intellectual, like mental level,
mm-hmm,
question, not the
mm-hmm
or the body, actually either one, articulate a question around that. What question might you ask?
Something like, what is a similar feeling that you might.
Oh, I just lost you. Say that again.
I said, what is a similar feeling that you might also connect to? I'm not quite sure how to flesh it out in
yeah
that open-ended.
Yeah, it might be, there might be some creating awareness around it first, possibly, like to just say, oftentimes there's another emotion associated with fear. Sometimes it can be excitement. Sometimes it can be something else.
Okay.
Connect in.
And that
where
place. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. No, go ahead. You go ahead.
I was going to say, and that place would be the place where you could align that. You could create awareness around fear being connected to growth. So I could see that maybe she can get excited that it's a growth opportunity as that line of questioning unfolds.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you were working with the body, you could say if there was a feeling right underneath the fear, what would it be? Or right next to it, or, you know, something
oh,
like
that. Oh, I love that.
That.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. These are great questions. Let's hear some more. Let's see who's next here. Lisa.
Hi.
Hi.
It's interesting because I was kind of going with that feeling. She was talking about being in her head and her heart space, you know, wanting to be very aware of her head and heart space. So the question I have is, what are some of the feelings of paradise that you can bring back with you?
I love that question. Yeah, it's a beautiful strategic question. You know, it's really about strategizing in a way. I may not ask that at the. I always like to save strategy questions for towards the end of a discussion,
yeah,
as opposed to the beginning. Like I would look through at fears first, But that's a great strategic question to ask after working through some of the other pieces. I love
that. Yeah, I was thinking in terms of her fear of leaving paradise and going back to the city. And so it, I was seeing it as an exploration of that particular fear.
I see. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
Along that line. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Let's see who's next here. Susie.
Hi.
Hi.
The question that I would have would be, at what point when she was experiencing this beautiful call home from spirit, kind of this tugging and nudging, at what point did she feel the fear being triggered? When did it turn from sort of a elation and excitement to fear?
I love that question. And tell me if I'm getting this right. My sense is the reason behind that question is to begin to pinpoint maybe some of the fear, the beliefs around the fear, and by kind of seeing like where in the process did the fear start to come up, sort of look at it from that context, what was happening.
Yes, exactly.
Nice. Yeah. Good. Great. Let's see who's next. Anne.
Oh, you said to raise my hand back in for other questions, so I did. So coming from, and just want to be responsible, this is definitely a filter, knowing that often when people are in their fears, it stops them from taking the actions that they may already know to take, or it blocks them from accessing the inner resources they already have. So this question is actually to try to tease out how much of that pattern may be present. What do you already know to do, and are you doing that?
Yeah, what do you, I feel like there's one more phrase after know to do, like to about
so what do you already, yeah, I actually had that, and I cut it out to simplify it, so what do you already know to do to ease this transition? And are you doing that? And if not, what's in the way? What do you see as in the way?
Yeah. Yeah, I love it. Probably you don't want to stack those. I would ask each
right.
one. But yes, really nice. Really, really nice. Good. Anyone else have any questions that they want to share? If not, I'll share a couple of others. Star two. Susan.
Joanna, what do you think about asking something like, how are you different now than when you were there in 2015 struggling with depression?
Yeah, yeah. So that is that was one of my questions, and I think it could be a really valuable one. So the way that I phrased it was, how have you evolved over the last 18 months that will support with this transition? Or if you wanted to just focus specifically like on the overwhelm, that will support with the overwhelm. Because it is true, she has changed in these 18 months. She's not going back the same person as the last time she was there. So we want to create awareness around that. And we want to create awareness around the new resources that she has since then. Beautiful.
Perfect.
Good.
I love the way you said that.
Awesome. Let's see. Who's this? 5568.
It's Leah V.
Hi.
Leah Binet. Hi. Actually, this question I was going to ask is very similar to what you're just talking about. It was just, you know, what wisdom have you learned from this time away in Mexico that you can bring to support you when you go back home?
Yeah, beautiful. Guatemala, but yes. What have you learned during that you can bring with you? She
mentioned she was sitting in a lot of circles, so like I would, I'm sure there's a ton of things, you know, right there.
Yeah, nice, beautiful. I love the phrasing of that question too. Good. Melissa.
Hi. Yeah, I was just thinking. I was going to ask about her vision for being back in the city, kind of as an anchor for where she's going. And I know she's walking into the unknown. There's a lot, but there might be some things. But I don't know if that's more of a strategy one or if that's I don't know.
Well, either way, yeah. So what would it? Yeah. How would you phrase it?
So what visions do you have for being back in the city? What visions do you have right now so far? You know, what's known? Yeah.
Yeah. Or even, and tell me if this is a direction that you're meaning to go in, I would maybe even push it a little more, like, what are you really excited about?
Okay.
For
yeah.
your return.
Right. Yeah, it feels to me like it's like a rewrite, that she's experiencing a rewrite of being in the city, and that she's going back as this new person, and that she might have some visions already. Like she did mention some of walking around and putting up flyers, and again, it's like anchoring in that head and heart space.
So I love this I love this concept of rewrite. So that's something that you might also want to create awareness around and bring into a question. It sounds something like, what is the story about Germany that you are ready to rewrite?
That's nice. I like that.
Yeah, good. I love that concept. Good.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Anyone else? Give you guys one more chance. Star two. Don't be shy. Take a chance. Take a risk. What are you thinking? Morgan.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. I feel like my mute button was off before, and I, like, didn't respond after my first question, so I wanted to test that.
I feel like you did. Yeah, I think you did mute yourself.
Okay. It was abrupt, and I was awkward. Sorry. I was mostly wanting to test that, and, I kind of forgot my question. I was really just testing that, but I really like what you guys are saying. Sorry.
That's okay. Okay, good. Anyone else? This is the moment to practice in safe space, to risk. If you're not sure about your question, ask it anyway. I'm not going to bite, I promise. Anne.
So as someone who is learning to developing yourself in following your intuition, are there times in the past when you followed your intuition when fear has not come up as an obstacle? And if so, what's the difference between then and now?
I like that question. It can help pinpoint. One of the things that I see it's possible that question doing is pinpoint a little bit more some of the fears I'm not articulating this right. Help her see what she could do differently. Like possibly her intuition is also saying like there are some things to watch out for here. And so it could bring her some more information on what she needs to tweak to make it even more aligned. Is that a little bit of what you were thinking?
Yeah, it was sort of a twofer. One of them was that what's different about this situation that you need to attend to?
Yeah,
but
yeah, that's what
also a different slice of where do you have inner resources that you may not be noticing that you've used in the past that you can bring into this pattern to counteract some of those fears.
Got it. Okay,
yeah,
good.
Both of those things, really.
Yeah.
And it depends on what comes up about what's different.
Yes.
Yes.
Got it. Good. Good, good, good. Stephanie.
Yeah, I am curious for her to explore. Well, the question I would ask was, how is your current living situation no longer serving you?
I like that because, again, that can connect into more of that motivation and knowing. I think she already knows that it's the right choice, but, like, that preparing and that grounding when you know that what you're leaving is not you know, there are some things about it that aren't right anymore. So there may be some non-paradise pieces about the current situation as well.
Yeah, yeah, and that was my intention with it, is that she speaks so highly of her current living situation. I was just wondering if there were some attachments we could loosen up.
Yeah, yeah, and again there, for us as practitioners, we don't want to be attached either because there might be, or there really might not be, and it's truly just this intuition that doesn't have. But I think it's a valuable question. 100%.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Good. Good. So we've covered a lot. Oh, here we have another one. Good, Linda.
Hi, Joanna. So my question would be around getting back to what I think of as her bigger why. Like, you know, it's right into her intuition, but at some point when you're making a decision, you're looking at some kind of criteria. So if we could get her back to, you know, what was the criteria that helped her make this decision, and, you know, what was really important here, and amplify that might reduce the stress and increase the joy, you know, more of a joy of anticipation and excitement. So
yeah.
I think something like what is your bigger why with this move? Like, what was the most important thing about it?
Yeah. Yeah, so I love that question a lot and the reasoning behind that question, and this is such a fine point. You can tell me, Linda, cuz you're so seasoned. You can tell me if you agree with this or not, because every client is different. Like, what I heard, I think the question that you just asked, for most people, that would be the right wording. From what I heard from Lucia, there wasn't criteria here, and it wasn't an intellectual why. It was really an intuitive and spirit-guided why.
Right.
And so that being said, how might you shift? So first let me ask you, does that land for you?
Yeah, that's what I thought you were going to say.
Good, so let's just shift
that's
some
what
of
I
the language.
You were
because
say.
I think the purpose of the question is still really important. So work for a moment. How would you shift the language there?
Well, I used to teach decision making, so that's my old language coming out.
Yeah, well, which is great, but that's just from a mental level of learning
right,
and processing.
Right.
She's made this decision from another place. So
right.
What do you think?
Here's my question, and I don't know. If we're making decisions from a spirit level, isn't there some sense of what's important or priorities or criteria, or I don't know what the word is.
Yeah, so
underneath that, right? So,
right.
So I'm trying to get her to get to that.
Yeah,
so
here's
that
what's
she
coming to mind for me.
So
here's what's coming to mind for me on that. Tell me if you like this.
Okay.
What does spirit know about you? Hold on. What does spirit know about you that has had it make you sorry, I'm getting tongue twisted here. I'm overthinking. What is it that spirit knows about you that, even though it's asking you to leave paradise, it wants you to make this move? That's kind of wordy. We could probably get it shorter. But do you see how that's kind of joining what her criteria would be with the spirit piece? Mm-hmm. What do you think?
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome.
No, I think it's great. I think it's great. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Let me share a couple of other questions. And before I share any other questions, let me say, and I hope you guys already know this, but I just want to reinforce it, there is no, and this is what I love about coaching and what I love specifically about Sacred Depths coaching, there's not only one way to get to the other side. I'm going to make suggestions here. We've already had some amazing suggestions, but there's so many ways to support a client to get them to where they want to go, to get this client to feel grounded, prepared, and in a good headspace and heart space. So what I'm about to share is not the only line of questioning, just some other ideas for you guys to think about. And really a lot of the things we've already covered, I just have a couple of different ways of saying things. So one of the questions I wrote down was, what does your inner wisdom want you to know about taking care of the house and the business setup? So that's actually very similar in a way, not in some ways similar to what Linda was just bringing up. You know, how can we, because it's a spirit-led decision, how can we kind of use that, but also bring in some of the mental level of learning and processing and the criteria and, you know, what she knows. Another question I wrote down was, why is it important to trust your intuition on this decision? Yeah, it's, right, because it's obviously so important to her. She's bought the ticket. She's going. Why is it important to get to more of that motivation that so many of you have spoken about? Another question I wrote down was, what belief about yourself will help your mindset and soul space about Germany? What belief, or to use even more of her own language, what belief about yourself will help your heart space and your head space about this move to Germany? And then another question I wrote down is, who are you committed to being when you get to Germany? Who are you committed to being when you get to Germany, right? So that she can begin to name that person inside of herself that can handle these fears that she's outlined. Okay, so let me take a moment and come back to Lucia here. Are you there?
I am. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, great. So tell us something that you learned through just this process of hearing these questions and have us discuss you in front of you. What's something that you learned?
Oh,
or
gosh.
What is something that you're seeing?
I just learned how incredibly compassionate and kind and loving this community is. And I was, like, certainly more than once moved to tears. Just feeling, not by a particular question, but just by feeling the love and compassion behind the questions. That was incredible. And just a big full body exhale.
Oh, good. I'm so happy to hear that. And I got chills when you said it. And I think it's because you're bringing forward an important piece, which actually, you know, I mentioned in our very first class, I have mentioned before, but not specifically around questions, and I'm so glad you're bringing it forward. Part of what I hear in what you're saying, Lucia, is we all, you know, all of us really need to remember that our questions are about the content. It's about the actual words that we're using, but even our questions are there and designed to help our clients feel seen and heard and loved, which already just in itself is so powerful.
Yeah, so, and it really reminds me of, like, that there are resources that are not able to be seen by me when I'm focusing or when I'm, like, spiraling in the fear-based mindset.
Good. I'm so glad you're seeing all of that. I'm so glad for the exhale. Yay.
And I wrote down every single question, and I will definitely, like, journal and, like, think thoroughly on each of them.
Yes, I think you're going
to
get a lot.
My, yeah, I would love to share my own question to myself because you've asked myself, so I want to take advantage of that and have your reflection on that as well.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
And I have the question to myself, how much do you really trust the vision that Spirit has been given to you?
I love that. Yeah. Why is that an important question?
Because this was the beginning of all of this, and when there is enough trust to buy the ticket, why is there not enough trust that Spirit will give me the right house and the right people and the right clients?
So that question is one of those number questions. If we think back to the categories, like percentage or numbers, that will help us tell the difference between story and truth with a capital T. And I think in this case, it really helps confirm the power of the trust versus any of the stories that came afterwards.
Yeah. And the second question I have for myself, is there anything that you feel excited about going home?
Yeah. Yeah. And I would even, in a session, I would just shift that from a yes or no to a more open-ended. So instead of is there any what? What are you excited about?
What are you,
So yes or no question would be appropriate if you've been in the session for a while and it's maybe becoming apparent that either it's not the right decision for the client or it's becoming apparent that it maybe is, but the client is so stuck in their story that you want to kind of jolt them out of it a little bit. But otherwise, I would use the open-ended. Good.
Okay.
Nice.
And the third one is, what affirmation or belief can you come up with that you can anchor into the feeling of joy and ease?
Beautiful. I love that.
I love to work with affirmations. And I just that I can, like, paint on my laptop case or wherever.
Yeah.
I'm seeing them often.
And what I want to point... Yeah, beautiful. And what I want to point out about that question to everyone is, like, us all listening to what Lucia shared, we wouldn't have been able to come up with that question because she didn't mention joy and ease. But because Lucia is a repeat client of herself, she knows that that is something that this client values, right? And she's tracked that. And so she's bringing that in to connect the dots. So that also just speaks to the importance of being aware of our clients' values as we work with them over time and bringing them into the conversation for in order to help them move forward and help them connect to themselves. Nice. Thank you. And
thank you so much for willing to come forward
and be so vulnerable.
That was such a good decision. I'm so happy I did that. And thank you, everybody, for the love that was so palpable and tangible behind all your questions.
Okay, you're good. Does anybody have any questions on everything we just covered with Lucia, anything that came forward? I think we'll have time for another short volunteer next, but before we get there, does anybody have any questions at all or something that you didn't get or you're not sure about? Star two. All right, so that being said, I think we can do another shorty. Who'd like to be our volunteer client? Star two. Like to get some insight on a situation. Let's see, who is this? 6004.
Hi, Joanna. It's Suzanne.
Hi, Suzanne. Nice to hear your voice.
Thank you.
So share with us a situation that you would like support on. What's going on?
Well, I'm running a workshop tonight for my business, like a paid workshop. And I find I tend to over-prepare, and then I get, like, anxious. Like, beforehand, I get really anxious when I'm running it, like 5 minutes in, I really enjoy it. And afterwards, I get, I don't know, similar to like after exercise, endorphins, I'm really excited. But I really wish I wasn't so hard on myself beforehand, because I really don't enjoy the lead up to doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I get that. What is it that you'd like to receive? If let's pretend this was a coaching session for a moment. What is it that you would want to receive?
I guess when I coach other people, and it's funny, we teach what we most need to know. It's about being hard on themselves and holding themselves to a higher standard. Then I feel like I can't allow that for me. So, yeah, I guess it's some guidance or some... I didn't realize it was that hard, sorry. Some insight about being kind to myself.
Insight about being kind to yourself. Why is that bringing up emotion?
I guess, like, part of me feels if I'm kind to myself, I'll lose my drive. And I know,
Suzanne, I'm having the same trouble with as I did here at Lucia before. Can you just move?
Sorry. It was probably my microphone got bumped. I have a fear that doesn't make sense, but I'll raise it, that if I kind to myself, I'll lose my drive. Like, I have to be harsh on myself to be driven to get things done.
Yeah. Anything else you want to say about that? I want to ask questions, but I'm holding back. Anything else you want to say about that?
Yeah, I guess I try and like self-coach myself through it or to work through it, and I get frustrated with understanding it consciously, but I don't feel the way that I feel it doesn't make sense. As in, like, you know, consciously I understand, you know, self-care is important and people are coming because they really like me and they like how I teach and they benefit from that. It doesn't need to be perfect, you know. But then the other part of me is like, I don't know, I feel like this sense of responsibility because I need to model this. I'm kind of getting myself confused.
That's okay. Talk about the responsibility part.
I suppose I work with a lot of, like, really vulnerable people or people who have tried lots of things before and it hasn't worked. And I feel the weight of that. But obviously it's the line between some birds going past. The line between stepping out of that victim mentality or that, you know, things always happen to me, to taking the personal responsibility, sometimes I fear that I will come across aggressive in my questioning or that they'll feel even more alienated. So to hold the space and to make them, you know that they're always seen, heard and loved, but also to make a change, they need to take some action. Sometimes I fear that I'll be seen as a bully or just another thing that doesn't work.
Okay. This is going to be a coachy question, but let's do it anyway because I think we need it. What do you see as the connection between the fear that your clients will see you as a bully and the tendency to not always be kind to yourself?
Oh, yeah. Like, I'm aware that my biggest bully is me, you know. And I think that's why I'm trying to look at how to phrase this.
I have been bullied a lot in the past, growing up in childhood at school, but no one was ever as hard on me as I was on myself, so I could handle that better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, good. So let's just come back to, just want to make sure we're clear on what you want to receive. So is it insight about how to be more kind to yourself?
Yes, definitely, because I tend to, yeah, like I have a fear or a block or something I don't see that if I'm kind, but too kind to myself, then I'll be lazy.
Mm-hmm. Talk more about that.
Well, I tend to take a lot of things on, and I know that, and I tend to get a lot of things done, but it's not really till on reflection that I realise how much I've achieved. Like, when I'm doing it, I'm always looking to the next thing. So I guess sometimes I think, oh, if I take a break or if I slow down, then I'll just be like, oh, I like this better. Let's just do nothing.
Yep. Okay, good. Anything else that you want us to know about this?
Oh, this was a lot harder than I thought it would be, actually. But I'm glad I put my hand up.
I am, too. I think just the other question I want to ask is back to what you were sharing in the beginning about the over-preparing, because I just want to make sure that I'm hearing this right. It feels like this wanting to be more kind to yourself and this belief that if you're too kind, then you'll be lazy. You see that as what's driving the over-preparing yourself before a workshop or whatever it is and being hard on yourself.
Yeah, the over-preparing. And also, too, I guess I may not have raised this, but like there's that big fear that somebody won't be acknowledged or won't be seen. But then again, I don't want to push them if they don't want to perhaps put their hand up or they don't want to contribute. So to make sure that they feel that they're welcome, but they don't have to, like, because I personally can't stand that, let's go around the room. As soon as somebody says that, I'm like, I just want to run. But sometimes people need that little push, like little loving, gentle push to be like, speak up, because otherwise they just won't, you know.
Yeah. Okay, good. So we can just put that into the mix in terms of questions that we think of. Beautiful. So, Suzanne, I want you to put your coaching questioning hat on now, too, as I give everybody instructions. So I'm going to give everybody about 2 minutes, like we did last time. Take time and at least 2 or 3 questions. What are some questions that you might want to ask this client? Think about words, language, tonality, patterns, all the things. What are some questions that you might want to ask this client? Take another minute, play with the questions you've written down, or find some other ones. another 10, 15 seconds. And then who wants to come forward with some questions? Star two. Hold on 1 second, you guys. Okay. Anne.
So many things came to mind. But one thing that popped up to the surface was, I'm curious, when you were younger, how well was your need to have your efforts recognized, praised, accepted, met? I think I may have gotten my words backwards there.
No. That was that made sense.
Like a brain fart mid-sentence.
Yeah.
Because what I really want to get at is that this sounds to me like this is a pattern that's been there for a very long time, and especially with what Suzanne shared about having been bullied when she was younger, that there's some place where best efforts might not have been recognized as good enough, and so that kind of drive and like harsh taskmaster got internalized, saying only perfection is going to be suitable here. So I want to know how far back that goes so that I can work with that with my client.
Yeah, nice. I like that question. I think you're bringing in a new concept here for her around being acknowledged and seen, through the, like, how often were you recognized, and that may be a piece of it, or it may be more that laziness fear in there. So that either way, that question will either resonate, or she'll say, no, you know, it's more of the other thing, and then the question can still hold for the other piece in there. Nice.
Thanks.
Good. Siobhan.
Okay, so this time I'm keeping it really simple. It might be too simple, but, it got to me, of course, when she got emotional. And so my question would be, when you got emotional, what was your heart trying to tell you about what's important here?
Yeah. Beautiful. I love that question. It's a body and heart-based question. And part of what's important about it, and I'm sure you guys noticed just even when I was talking with Suzanne, when I heard the emotion, I noted it, right? Just like Siobhan is noting it in this question, I didn't want to do too much coaching, but I asked, why did that just bring up emotion, right? We want to create awareness when someone, if something is bringing up emotion, especially if previous to that they had been speaking and that emotion wasn't there, or vice versa, right? I don't hear. It seems like this doesn't feel as emotional. So that question is doing a lot of different things. Nice. Leah V.
Hi, yes, I was really touched at the vulnerability that Suzanne was bringing forth, and just being courageous enough to share. I was really touched by that. I feel like it's not easy, especially for people that coach, to get that vulnerable, and I was really touched by that. And the question that I would want to take is kind of, I definitely have filters on this. You know, what is lazy mean to you? What does it look like to you?
Yeah.
And then depending on whatever the answer is, you know, what might you believe?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Questions like that are definition questions, right? So it helps the client get more, even just more clear, and also to help to start to see, like, is this lazy thing really me or not?
And there's one more thing. Can I share? Or I'm not sure if it's just, and it's kind of my experience, and I'm not sure how I would do that. But, you know, she talked about, you know, how she goes from one thing to another. And it would probably be way later on in the session or whatever, but is a tool like bringing a pause in between everything she does. So I don't know where that would be, definitely towards the end for a tool.
You mean in terms of strategy, like how can you create?
Yes,
absolutely. I think that's a very valid and important question. And you're right, that would come after exploring some of these other pieces.
After exploring more, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Good. Good. Those are great questions. Let's hear some more. Susan.
I am also grateful, Suzanne, for your share. Thank you. And what I feel guided to explore would be beliefs around worth and productivity and earning. So I might say something, and I'd love your help with it, Joanna, like how might you guide a friend or client who is trying to earn their worth through productivity or perfection? And I also might just go straightforward with, you know, what do you believe determines that worth? Where does that worth come from? And try to do some exploring there.
I think those are well phrased. Now, I may have missed this. Did she use worth when she was speaking?
She didn't.
Okay, so this would be a new concept that you would be bringing forward. Yeah.
Related to, right, her saying, if I'm not hard on myself, I will get lazy and lose my drive.
Yeah.
And so maybe there's really, I made an assumption that that's bad, but it sounded bad from the way she presented it.
Yeah, no. I think the assumption, I think the assumption is that it's about her worth versus something else, like it possibly her safety.
Okay.
And it's still absolutely ask the question.
Right.
Just check, right? It's just another opportunity to check your filter because there might be something else. There.
Totally. And I was going to say that people, you had just said, you know, I have a filter here, and I was like, oh yeah, this is my filter around earning.
Yeah. So it's okay to ask, right? It's okay, just so long as it's checked. Good.
Got it. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Stephanie.
Yeah, I was interested in bringing in some more choice to the conversation. So my question was going to be, is there another option that lives in between being overprepared and being lazy?
Yes. Yeah, I love that. I had a similar question. What is the healthy middle ground between the taskmaster and the lazy one? So very, very similar to what you're asking. Yeah, and the reason for me why I put that healthy in there is because there's an aligned, right? There's kind of like an aligned higher version place that is not either one of those poles. Good.
Yeah.
Yep, that's where I was going to.
Awesome.
Okay. Lucia.
Hi. So my question would be body-based, and I would phrase it like, where in your body can you establish a connection to the version of you that already held a successful retreat?
Beautiful. Yeah. And what, share with us what the purpose of that question is. I like it.
I have the second question. When she makes this connection, what message does this version of you have for you?
Yeah, so to tap into the inner wisdom, to the part of her that already knows and knows how to be.
Yeah, and that already has done it. Not only that the possibility exists, that the workshop, it's not the first one. It's not only a possibility that this one will be going okay or good, but there is already some reference in her body, in her past.
Yeah.
That it went well.
Yes, there's a body memory there. Nice. Good. Who is this? 2208.
Chance.
Hi, Chance.
Hi. My question was, what will happen if you become lazy?
Yeah, really good question. It's, and we'll look at this when in our Rewiring Your Negative Thoughts module as a little piece of it, because sometimes it is really valuable to just go down that line of questioning so that the client can see that it's actually whatever catastrophic thinking that's in there isn't actually going to lead to true catastrophe. Or even if it is demi-catastrophe, then it's out in the open and you can look at how to strategize around it. Nice. Good. Morgan.
Hi there.
Hi.
So I'd like to begin by saying to Suzanne that with what I'm hearing, I feel like I can relate to how being hard on ourselves is often a tool for drive and motivation. That resonates for me, but also the desire to stay in a loving space for ourselves or the people we're working with. And so how might we be able to reframe, but also pre-frame our approach, and instead of using the word bullying, but find another word that better matches our intention, which is love and kindness.
Nice. I like it. I was pausing because I was thinking, how can we make that question just a little bit shorter?
Yeah, I didn't think about it, but that's my question.
Yeah, yes. So I love it. And this may not be as effective. I'm just kind of brainstorming here. But, first the reflection for sure. But then when you get to the actual question part, it could sound something along the lines of what is a better archetype than bully? Or what is an archetype that can encapsulate the motivation of the bully, but the compassion of the lazy one, something like that.
Sure. Archetype is interesting. Or even could I just ask, is there another word for bullying that better fits your intention?
Yeah. What is a more aligned version of bully, or what is a more aligned word?
Great.
Yeah. Good. All right. We've got just a couple minutes left, so I'm going to share some of the questions that I wrote down, and then we'll wrap up with any takeaways and questions that you guys have. So just one thing I wanted to note, I actually asked her twice when I was just asking Suzanne, I asked, what do you want to receive? Just as a reminder for everybody, it's so important because, when she first started, she spoke about, I'm over preparing for, she shared the situation with us, but she didn't share what she wanted from it, right? And it's really important to define, because that conversation otherwise could just go in too many directions and in ones that may not be valuable for the client. Also, just in that beginning part, I want to point out one of the questions I asked her was, what do you see as the connection between clients seeing you as a bully and you not being kind to yourself? A little bit like of a heavy-handed question, obviously, but I wanted to make the connection there for her. And, you know, if I wanted to spend a full session on it with this client, I mean, for those of you that will be with me for the shadow retreat, we'll go deep into this. But 9 times out of 10, when we have a fear that somebody thinks something about us, it's because that part of us is in shadow and there's a superpower hidden in it that we haven't activated yet. And so anytime I'm working with a client and they share that they have a fear that somebody thinks X of them, I kind of get really excited because I know that we can do some really good shadow work there. Some other questions that I wrote down. What is the wisdom that your inner bully doesn't yet know? What is the wisdom that your inner bully doesn't yet know? So just allowing her to connect into a higher truth place around this, you know, fear that if she's lazy, she's too kind, that she'll become lazy. You could even go into some dialoguing between that wisdom and the inner bully itself. Let's see, another one I wrote down is, how old is the part of you that isn't kind to yourself? And then a follow-up to that question, what do you want that little girl to know? Yeah, because oftentimes it's not our adult selves that run the show. When these kinds of fears or obstacles come up, it's a younger part of us. And so starting to just like isolate that one, seeing that there's a difference between her and your adult self, and then speaking to him or her, them, you know, whatever it is, can be super helpful. Another question I wrote down was, what are you missing out on by being so overprepared and hard on yourself? What are you missing out on? What else did I write down here? See if I can read my own handwriting. So I was thinking about, like I was sharing earlier with Susan, I was really thinking about the concept of safety. That might be a little bit of my own filter. It's something that I'm working again. I always work on this one for myself. I'm working on this one again for myself. I was, to me, some of the fear of getting too lazy was like not feeling safe in the world. If she just took like an exhale and could enjoy herself and not be so hard on herself, that somehow that wouldn't feel safe to her. So there may be something there going down the line of questioning there, you know, what would feeling safe look like, define safety, that kind of thing. Another question that I wrote down is, and this is, she was talking a little bit about her clients. What would it take for you to trust your clients more? What would it take for you to trust your clients more? And then a yes or no question. Is it true, is it actually true that if you were kind to yourself, you would become so lazy that you wouldn't get anything done? So that yes or no question is kind of me calling BS on the fear. All right, so we've got just a moment left. Let me come quickly back to Suzanne on this, if I can find you. Oh, no. Oh, Suzanne, can you raise your hand? I don't remember which number was you. There we go. Okay, good. Anything that you want to share, just what you're taking away from this experience?
That was really awesome. Thank you, everybody. I've forgotten people's names, but the I've got lots of notes, but the biggest one that nailed it on the head was the first person who asked about being in knowledge as a child.
I didn't hear what you just said.
Being acknowledged as a child.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That hit me in the gut, and I was like, that would be something to unpack. And the thing about self-worth and earning through production, that really resonated with me as well.
Yeah, and I think those two things are connected.
Yes.
Those two questions.
Beautiful. Definitely.
Good. Good, good, good. All right. Anything that anybody wants to share, any takeaways before we wrap for today? I know we're a few minutes over. Thank you for hanging on. Anything before we wrap? Star two. Susie.
Hi. At the very beginning of this session, you had mentioned something that you were asking us to fill out or answer a survey or a poll. I'm sorry, I didn't catch that.
Yeah, it's a one question that I posted on Facebook. I need to figure out how to pin it to the top of the page so that you can find it easily. But if you can go and look, it's just the only poll there. I was thinking of adding a bonus session. I explain what it is in there. I would be doing some modeling coaching, and we would break it down, and then we would take some volunteers to do some coaching. I was just thinking of adding that in, but I need to know if there are going to be people live for that or not before I add it. So I have a suggested date there. So if anyone that hasn't answered yet, if you could just let me know. We're just a couple people away. I needed 15 to be live to feel like we'd have enough for the conversation. So we're just a couple away from that. Let me know if you can be there.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. All right, everybody. Thinking about you all. We're off next week. I'm leading a retreat. But I'll see you in 2 weeks. And I just love all the conversations we've been having on Facebook. Please continue to bring all of that forward. I'll talk to you soon. Bye.
The moderator has left the conference.